trials in London, Hoggs, but never one like this.
Grand night for a murder, Captain Kirsten.
There'll be no murder tonight, Sergeant. There are 30 bobbies to see to that. Kindly report to Inspector Morrissey at the Grand Deck.
Inspector Morrissey, aye, sir. Inspector Morrissey. Embassy Hall is completely surrounded. Shadow couldn't have been so thick. Hadn't you better duck inside before you catch cold, Inspector? Inspector Morrissey, I say. Blimey, sir. He's dead. Captain! Captain! Captain!
Paper, stop me out, Inspector. Mysterious Strangle. Paper, paper. I tell you, it's that Sultan's curse.
Yes, that's what it is. The curse of Netua.
The Sultan's curse.
The Sultan's curse.
Thank heaven it's the Sultan's stealing on the Empress tonight.
On the Empress? It's a delicate case. We
interrupt to bring you a news bulletin. From Hollywood, California, Tay Garnett, veteran film director, offers his colorful radio creation, Three Sheets to the Wind, starring Brian Donlevy with Helga Moray. I know you'll all be happy to meet the man who has been responsible for many of your favorite films in the past. Hollywood's foremost adventurer director. He wants to tell you about his latest experiment, startling, exciting, and new. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tay Garnett.
Thank you. Good evening. You've all heard radio plays adapted from motion pictures, rehashes of movies you've seen. Now, I believe for the first time, we bring you a story on the air from which a picture will later be made. The screenplay, Three Sheets to the Wind, bounces from the prolific pen of Ken England, author of many of Hollywood's greatest comedy successes. It comes to the air in a special adaptation by one of radio's outstanding writers, John Slott. It was originally titled World Cruise. As that title implies, the story knows its way into the bizarre ports of the seven seas. To lend realism to the film, I circled the globe in a small boat, photographing in many colorful countries that are no longer accessible to peoples of the free world. Of course, that was for the movie. Now we're ready to make that movie, and we need your help. We want to preview this picture before we make it. Won't you write us your opinion? Yours will be the voices that will ultimately guide us in the production of our motion picture. And now, with your kind indulgence, we'll shove off on the first leg of our adventure.
Big pardon, sir. I haven't signed the log
yet. Oh, yes. Here's a call. Empress, this is the report. Sailing from Southampton, England, August 25th, 1939, on a regular 180-day world cruise. First port of call, Alexandria, Egypt. Completed loading of cargo at 10:45 p.m. Passenger list incomplete. 40 cancellations since announcement Sultan had booked passage. Will cast off at approximately 11 p.m. Greenwich Cap. Hey, Romilad. I've an ominous premonition about this trip. I can't say exactly what it is.
Yes, come in.
Captain Babcock, you sent for me, sir.
Oh, yes, Wilkes. Get me the Foreign Office on the phone.
Yes, sir.
40 cancellations. That blasted Sultan, that's what it is. Well, I won't have.
Relax. Relax.
Your blood pressure.
Now, listen here, you quack. You stick your pills. I'm running this ship. By the Lord,
hell, yeah.
I want you to pop those boiler tubes you use for blood vessels. Oh, will you put away that newspaper?
Now, listen to this, Tom. Sultan's diamond leaves trail of death. Okay, Tom, do you realize that in the 7 days his nibs has been here, exactly 7 people have been mysteriously strangled?
Oh, mere coincidence.
And don't try to read any hocus-pocus oriental mysticism.
Look, Tom, in the Far East, I've seen Hindus who died from no apparent cause. Others I've pronounced dead and then seen them walk again. Malays who walked across white-hot stones without being burned.
How did you know the stones were hot? I suppose you felt them.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did. These scars on my palms will be with me to my grave.
Any dreadful knots. But it's cost us 40 cancellations.
And listen to this. Sultan attributes death to the legend of Natuana, which decrees
that anyone who looks with covetous eyes upon the sacred black garment shall be destroyed by the gods. And if one is so tempted, it is written that 11 must die. One death for every facet in the garment.
That's splendid. So 4 more have got to die. Well, I'm not going to clutter up my deck with corpses. I won't have it. Oh, come in.
We have the foreign secretary in the wild.
Well, it's about time.
Jenkins, my passengers bought their tickets under the impression this world cruise is going to be a pleasure trip.
I have no time for superstitions, Captain.
Oh, superstitious, eh? Why, I've seen red-hot Malays walking on stones. I've got scars.
My dear naive mariner, the sultan carries a fortune in diamonds. I'm quite sure jewel thieves will snap up all your vacancies before you shove off. Cheerio!
Yes, what is it?
Good news, sir. All the cancellations have been filled.
Well, I won't have it.
Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir.
Of all the annotated barnacle brain incompoops I've ever seen.
Yes, sir.
Quiet. Easy, Tom. Those boiler tubes are pretty rusty.
Oh. Yeah. Look down at that dock.
World Cruise.
Yes, that charming bunch of chattering magpies are going to be my sole companions for the next 3 months.
Yeah, but you forget that you'll have me too, Tom, as far as Singapore.
Forget nothing. I say, what's that? Well, what's the excitement? What are those people doing down there?
You need glasses, Tom. I warned you before.
There's nothing wrong with my eyes. What are they doing? What's that infernal noise?
Well, it seems that the Sultan of Natsuana, his diamond, and his bodyguards have arrived.
My goodness, what a spectacle. Brass hats, filthy diamonds, and diplomats. Well, I won't have him on board. Look at the Sultan. Isn't he picturesque with that large black diamond and his white turban?
The cap in the municipal comedy uniform must be Captain Rashford Bey, the Sultan's equerry.
I tell you, I won't let him aboard.
And look at those giant Nubians covering his rear.
Silence, Captain B. Friends and gentlemen of this press, it would please us if you would express to the people of your wonderful country our deep appreciation of their warm hospitality and our sincere regret over the unfortunate chain of tragedies that has clouded our stay here.
Please, gentlemen, will you kindly clear the gangplank so that His Majesty may proceed aboard? Please! Please, gentlemen! Your ticket, please. Please show your ticket. Just get them off.
How's it coming, sir? All your passengers accounted for?
All except two, sir. A Mr. Dan O'Brien and a Miss Joan Lockwood. They'll doubtless be along soon, sir. Undoubtedly, Mr. O'Brien. Mr. O'Brien?
Huh? Mr. O'Brien. What a coincidence. That's my name, too. Glad to meet you, chum.
Have you a ticket, Mr. O'Brien?
Ticket? Oh, no, thank you. I have one.
Would you mind stepping aside, Mr. O'Brien, and letting this young lady aboard while you're looking for your ticket?
Oh, sure.
Thank you, sir.
Now, let me see. Oh, Miss Joan Lockwood. Oh, yes, D-47, Miss Lockwood.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, boy, did you get a load of that, Kathy? Did you get a load of those eyes? Oh, boy, those eyes. That, my friend, Mr. Percifer, is the staff of life.
Room E28, Mr. O'Brien.
Is this going to be a voyage? Oh, boy, is this going to be a voyage?
I beg your pardon, my dear young Christian friend.
Meaning me?
Meaning nobody else, there, kitty boy. Hey, Look, didn't I meet you?
I've never been in Boston. I'm not the girl you rescued while swimming at Brighton. Nor did I drop my handkerchief beside your table at the Savoy Grill.
Huh?
I'm trying in my subtle way to convince you that we haven't met.
Well, think enough, but it's no more your fault than it is mine. Hey, were you ever in Dover? No, wait a minute now, wait a minute now. Don't tell me. I know a dame in Ottawa once, but she was a brunette. Were you ever in Ottawa?
If I had my knitting, you could sit down and talk it over. But under the circumstances, I'm afraid you'd have to excuse me. You see, this is my home right
now. Now, take it easy, Cupcake. Take it easy, will you? I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll cover up my head and close my eyes and count three, and by the time I open my eyes, you'd better make up your mind who you are. Ready? One. Two. Three. Here, come ready or not, you shall be caught. All right. Who am I?
A big pardon, sir.
Huh? Hey, where's the young lady, Stuart?
Where is you?
Dame with the eyes.
I'm afraid I don't know who you mean, sir.
Oh. Antisocial, huh?
He's a deaf one, what?
Yes?
It's Perkins, the room steward, miss.
Oh, come in, Stuart.
Thank you. May I see your ticket, Miss Lockwood?
Oh, yes, Stuart. Here you are.
Oh. I forgot my eyeglasses, miss. Can you make out that number?
Yes. I-9142.
Begging your pardon, miss. It looks to me like C-9143.
It's quite distinct, Stuart. I-9142.
I as in intelligence?
As in British intelligence. God save the king.
God save the king.
Cigarette?
Oh, thanks. Hey, who are you anyway?
Oh, a number of things. 2 years ago, I was chambermaid in the house over at the Grand Duke.
Hmm?
A year ago, I died in Central Europe. At least, I hope the enemy thinks so.
Blimey, Minerva the dancer, butterfly of the Balkans.
Toast of the second-class restaurant and third-class in the Sydney.
Oh, that Balkan affair made history. You really don't overlook a thing, do you? You know what they're saying at the Army Intelligence Headquarters?
Look, that Balkan affair was buried in my flag-draped casket of a 17-gun salute. Right now, we're sitting with a growth of slimy strangulations in our lap. And to date, these famous Lockwood electric eyes have been in a state of total blackout.
Hey, could be the stuff himself as crushes the wind out of the pipes.
Did you notice his bill? It couldn't crush a banana with a steamroller. I say, what about those assorted shades of muscle men he carries with him?
No, certainly aren't giving them a clean bill of health. That must be the jewel thief.
Why would a jewel thief kill seven innocent bystanders? There is a broker, an artist, a writer, an explorer, a polo player, the secretary of Rhodesia, and Morrissey. Not a criminal among them.
They all seem innocent enough.
Mm-hmm. And each one of them was strangled at 11 o'clock.
11? So wait, what time is it now?
At the sound of the gong, it will be, let me see. 3 minutes before strangling time. I'd better start patrolling my beat.
Well, do be careful. This ghastly thing we're fooling with, whatever it is deadly dangerous.
I promise you, I'll take every precaution. Let me see. I wear my rubbers and my long underwear, and I won't eat oysters in any month beginning with the wrong letter. Cheerio.
Good man, did she pass this way, my good man?
Who, sir?
The young lady with the eyes.
Why, I don't know.
Oh, well, and in that case, could you direct me to the bar?
The bar, sir?
Huh?
Well, you're leaning on it.
Oh, I'm leaning on it. Well, never mind, I'll find it myself. My good man, bring me a scotch and soda, my good man.
Yes, sir.
And not too much soda.
Yes, sir.
Just a moment, garçon. Where's everybody? This joint's deserted. Except for that male match dancer over there.
It's a little early for the cocktail lounge, sir.
Huh. Hey, does that boy think he's in a Turkish bath with that towel around his head? What's the idea of wearing that big black doorknob in it?
Oh, him. That's the salt and the nut you want.
Oh, a cigarette manufacturer, huh? Hey, it looks like a shipboard flirtation. He's giving me the come hither. Well, you can serve me my potion at his honor's table, my good man.
Hiya, chum. You have our permission to be seated. We wish to speak to you.
That's what I like. Good old Southern hospitality. Hey, now look here, chum. Give me the lowdown, will you? Where's the young lady?
The young lady? We know no young lady.
You know no young lady. You're a fine sultan. I mean the young lady with the eyes.
Scotch and soda, sir.
Oh, thank you, my good man. Thank you. Well, here's mud in your eyes, chum.
We thank you.
We, Monsieur. You didn't think I'd get it, did you? Hey, 11 o'clock already.
Hey, now, look here, chum. You get up off of that floor. You're going to get that gold bathrobe all dirty.
Hey, you know what I think? I don't think you can handle your liquor. Yeah, and what's more, I think I got a little hunch you passed out. Hey, garçon, where is... Oh, garçon! Garçon!
Hey. Now, wait a minute, garçon. Get up off of that floor.
Hey, what are you two guys up to? This is no time for playing games.
Hey, garçon. Your nose is bleeding. And you're sprawled out in a very undignified position. Garçon, you know what I think? I think you're dead.
You were yelling fire.
Did you ever hear anyone getting any help yelling asphyxiation?
Who's been asphyxiated?
The sultan and the waiter. That's who. They've both been murdered.
Murdered?
Don't you think you could do with a bit of rest, Mr. O'Brien?
Oh, we're smart guy, hey?
All right, come on. I'll show you the bodies right here in the cocktail lounge. Come on.
Hey, the joint's full of people. It was empty.
Hey, you mentioned dead bodies, Mr. O'Brien. Well, where are they?
Hey, they're gone. All of them gone.
Is this a sleight of hand trick, Mr. O'Brien?
I tell you, the sultan was right over there.
Yes.
Suddenly he keeled over, and I yelled for the waiter. And he's lying on the floor over there. And then both of them dead.
And the bodies?
Huh? Oh. Well, they were here.
I see, Mr. O'Brien.
I just a tick.
All right, laugh, you wise guys, but the sultan's dead.
Close the waiter.
We'll take a look in at the sultan, Mr. O'Brien.
I can't understand it. I can't understand it unless somebody threw him overboard.
That's what he did. That's it. Somebody threw him overboard.
Gentlemen, what is it?
Sorry to interrupt you, Captain Bay, but Mr. O'Brien seems concerned about the sultan.
What is it that worries you about His Majesty, Mr. O'Brien?
He's dead. That's what. I saw him. Keel right over.
Really? Oh, we must let His Majesty in on this little joke. He's having tea. Gumby, open the door of His Majesty's bedroom.
No. That ain't possible.
Your Majesty... This gentleman is quite convinced that you are dead.
We can assure him he is mistaken.
But you asked me to have a drink, will you?
Hey, we We drink nothing stronger than tea, Mr. O'Brien. And we advise the same for you.
Hey, what's that wee business? I saw you on the...
Your Majesty, please accept my humblest apologies for this intrusion. Good night.
Good night.
I've got to believe
it. You'd better go to your stateroom and lie down.
All right. Maybe I haven't drunk. Maybe I'm good and drunk. But you check on the waiters. Now, if you don't find that one of the waiters is dead, then all right, you can throw me in the brig.
All right, Mr. O'Brien. We'll step into the cocktail lounge and check on the waiter.
All right. Now, look, bartender, he was waiting on us right here in the cocktail lounge. He's a little guy with a scar on his kisser.
These are the only waiters we got. He's 4 years.
Look, fellas, I saw two people die. Now that Sultan's alive again, it doesn't make sense. But the blood was on his... Now, wait a minute. There was blood pouring from the waiter's nose right there on the carpet. Yes, sir, right over there. Come here. Now, look, the waiter was lying right there, and there is the blood.
It does look like blood.
That's for porn, sir.
I can tell by smelling.
You're slap happy. That's blood.
I've been serving port wine for 30 years.
That's port wine, sir.
I ought to know what it smells like.
It's blood, I tell you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Blood.
Good.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay, you mugs can laugh, but I'm right. And I'll prove it. All I need is a little time.
Right now, a chair would be much more to the point.
Thank you, lady.
Waiter, some black coffee from the Fairground.
Nobody believes me except I have a couple of drinks.
A couple of drinks, Mr. O'Brien? Oh, I bet you used to plunk in a listen to it.
Honest, lady, honest. I saw the Sultan keel right over, right where you're... Oh, my God. The same with the eyes.
Somebody you know.
Hey, look, Sticker, I got to talk to you.
Not yet, ain't it? Horace might overhear us.
Horace?
You know, the little purple man with no face but a heart of gold. He followed my grandfather around for years.
Oh, why, kid? It's one of those superior dames with a funny bone in the wrong place.
What you need is a drop of fresh air with your coffee. Come along. I'll have Horace serve it on deck.
Sure. What I need is a breath of fresh air. Hey, let's sit over here.
Kind of dark, isn't it?
No such thought entered my mind. My eyes are just tired, that's all.
This will do very nicely right here in the night, thank you.
Oh, sure.
Please don't do that.
Huh? Oh, my arm was asleep.
Wake it up. It walks in its sleep.
Hey, look. Cream puff. I'd advise this for this little
I hope you realize, Mr. O'Brien, that in helping you carry that load out of the cocktail lounge, I added no luster to my reputation aboard this ship. But I did want to talk to you.
As about what, little dear, didn't she?
May I see your hand, Mr. O'Brien?
Oh, you want to play handy, huh?
It's a big hand and strong, too.
Hey, look, a cheesecake. This handy business is all right in its way, but for enduring satisfaction, there's nothing like a good old fashioned.
Tell me, Mr. O'Brien, how long did you stop over in London?
Who, me? Oh, 7 horrible days.
Oh, you were there all the time the Sultan was there.
Don't give me that. The Sultan's dead. I know because I saw him having tea.
If you didn't like London, Mr. O'Brien, why did you stay so long?
Oh, they wouldn't let me go.
Popular, eh?
Well, not exactly popular. I was in jail.
In jail?
Mm-hmm.
All 7 days?
Well, you see, they put me in jail on account I stole a guy at Westminster Abbey. And then they found out that somebody else already owned Westminster Abbey.
Consequently,
when they learn their mistake, you let me out.
That was this morning.
Well, I guess that eliminates you.
Yeah. That's a very sad thing, being eliminated in the boom of youth like that.
Oh, my heart bleeds for you.
Yeah. I'm a very lonely man. I could borrow a little kiss.
It's honestly a pity the things you're doing to yourself. Huh? Every once in a while, in spite of yourself, I get a glimpse of something warm and really nice.
Sure, I knew you'd see us my way, a little lammy chappy.
Good night, Mr. O'Brien.
Hey, wait a minute. If that's the Allen suit you're gonna take, I don't care to discuss it any further.
Come in. Well, close that door, you veterinary. Don't give me pneumonia, so I'll be too weak to resist your malpractice.
I did expect it, Captain. You really must have that appendix looked up.
There's nothing wrong with my appendix.
Nothing that your sudden death wouldn't cure.
Why must you forever be prattling about death?
Death? You and that crazy drunk.
Now, I just examined Mr. O'Brien, and to the astonishment of the medical profession, you discovered it's neither dementia praecox or delirium tremens.
Very clever, Doctor.
He was drunk, all right, but he didn't have BTs, and he's not crazy. So it's your conclusion, my learned friend, that a sane man saw blood on the floor of the cocktail lounge and disappearing body.
I'm not sure what he saw. I've no explanation for the disappearing body. But the port wine...
Port wine, we do know about that.
It was not port wine, Tom. It was human blood.
And so the curtain descends on our first episode of Three Sheets to the Wind, starring Brian Donlevy and Helga Moray, with original musical scores by Edward Ward. And now, a final word from our producer-director, Jay Garnett.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard one reel of Three Sheets to the Wind, and what we believe to be the first sneak preview of a picture ever given before that picture was made. Won't you let us hear from you? Tell us how you liked it. You can help us greatly. Thank you.